Members will be, good morning to you, members of parliament. Some of us will be walking in as we speak. I'm led to believe that there's a few that are coming in with the late bus, but we should have a full component in a few minutes. For the benefit of members of parliament, we have invited the Portfolio Committee of Public Works. The Portfolio Committee of Public Works and the Portfolio Committee of Correctional Services that are here. And then on my right-hand side, we have the Department of Public Works and we have the Department of Correctional Services. And then, of course, we've got our friends from the media and everywhere else. Everybody, welcome and good morning. Just to... And we'll allow you to introduce yourself, both Public Works and Correctional Services, in a minute. But just to set the scene so that you don't feel too ambushed. We have interacted at least twice with the Department of Correctional Services. And we've been to at least 5 or 6 facilities as the Correctional Services Portfolio Committee. And I think I am correct in saying in all our visits, far the one last week to the private prison, in all the others, we've got horror stories in terms of maintenance. In all the others, we've got horror stories in terms of maintenance. Paul Small, Johannesburg, Kim Bloemfontein yesterday, but it's Groot Plein. Even the new one that is due to be opened next week, even that one is a problem. In terms of maintenance. We've also, in our interaction with the departments, continuously or consistently heard the departments apportion some blame to public works. Some blame they apportion to public works for the state of affairs. So we thought it would be prudent that you come and tell us, in their presence, what your role is in terms of the maintenance and what the challenges are, and that the Department of Correctional Services also tells us what they think your is, what is their understanding of your responsibility in terms of the maintenance and what the challenges are, so that we hear it from both of you. It's important because in a couple of weeks we are going to be expected to approve a budget for correctional services. And we're not going to approve a budget for correctional services not understanding who's got what role to play. So it's important that we have this interaction. And the final thing that I want to say is that I just to, as a way of an example, we met with the department to look at the July to September actual. We meet them on a quarterly basis. So this must have been sometime after September. And in their presentation on underspending, this is what the committee says to us. Underspending on program facilities, mainly due to low spending of funds allocated for capital work projects due to low and late billing from the Department of Public Works. So part of the reason why there's no service, or there appears to be no services from our side, is because public works bills are late. This is what the department says. I'm proposing an opportunity today to correct that or to put us into the picture. And there's another one here. GFC classification, expenditure for GFC classification. I don't know what that is, but again, it says underspending, mainly due to low spending of funds allocated for capital projects due to low and late billing from the Department of Public Works. Now, we have a serious problem with overcrowding in correctional services. We have a serious problem, as I said to you, and I'll allow members to give us the horror stories that they picked up around facilities and the maintenance thereof. And if part of the problem is because public works are not doing what they expected to do, then as members of parliament, we need to understand why not. And that's why we call the department, our colleagues from public works as well. As parliament, overall as parliament, we need to understand why you're not doing what you expected to do, if that is in fact the case. And that's the reason why we've called you. And similarly, we'd want to know from correctional services, how do we have a situation where the inspecting judge gives us horror reports of center of excellence in Northwest, no hot water? There's a place in Limpopo, I got a letter last week saying that children, I think, incarcerated in containers, no ventilation. Just last week I got that from the correctional, from the inspecting judge. So we have a major problem. And we'd want you not to, and this is what I'm closing with, Chair. We received a long presentation from both of them. I don't think it's going to help us to look at the presentation. I think they must explain to us what they think their role is and what the challenges are. DPW, correctional services should give us what they think their role is and what the challenges are, and then we open it up for dialogue. And your presentations, both from the Department of Public Works and the Department of Correctional Services, your presentations could be used as speaker's notes. We're not going to allow you to give us a 45-page presentation. I don't think that's the intention. I'm looking at members. Are you comfortable with that approach? So we will take a presentation from DPW, focusing on what do you understand your role to be, and what are the challenges. And we will allow members then to engage with that and give us some of the horror stories, because we need to have specifics. I can tell you specifically that Paul Smoe was leaking when we went there, specifically the children and the women section. They were leaked. I can tell you specifically that in the new prison that is supposed to be open next week, as we speak, there are leaks there. Besides the fact that public works, you're being blamed for it being open 2 years late, there are leaks as we speak. We were there last week, Monday, or Wednesday. There are leaks there. I can tell you at Johannesburg Central, or Sun City as we know it in Johannesburg, there are problems. Specifically, I'm sure that Mamyanda will tell us that in Mpumalanga, Barberton, she's always complained about serious problems. So we can give you specifics if you need specifics, and ask you why you're not doing them, or the department why they're not doing them, if you want specifics. But those are just more or less giving you an idea why we think it's a matter that must be dealt with seriously, urgently, and finalized before we approve the budget for the new financial year. Can we then ask the Department of Public Works to introduce yourself and your delegation? You led by acting still, eh?
Sir President, I'm the Chief Operating Officer of the Department of Public Works. Thank you very much, Sir President, for the Portfolio Committee of DCS, as well as the Chair President of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and our members, my colleagues from the Department of Correctional Services and Public Works, for those who meet you for the first time, compliments of the new season. Without much ado, Chairperson, let me take the opportunity to introduce the Department of Public Works delegation, which is led by myself. My name is Nchaupe Solomon Malibia. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of the Department of Public Works. I'm accompanied by the Acting Director, Deputy Director General Sasa Subban, responsible for asset management, who is sitting on my left hand side, And on my right-hand side, I have Ricky Samuel, who is responsible for regional coordination. Next week, we've got Mr. Enes Damini, who is responsible for PPM, Property Portfolio Management, in the Department of Public Works. At the back, in my left-hand side, we have Mr. Adam Tombeni, and Shalan, who is the King Coordinator for all parliamentary interrelations. We have in our team woman Shabalala on my extreme right, but at the back, together with Mr. Paul Makarada, both directors in the team. We have the team in terms of the Office of the Minister of Public Works. I can see that we have the media license, and we've got the administrative staff from the Minister's Office. Chairperson, without going for 45 minutes or anything longer than that, I would like to be brief to the point so that we focus and address the issues that we have raised, so that we are able to can have better solutions in terms of what needs to be addressed. The purpose of our presentation to the portfolio committee is to provide the information on terms of the accommodation services that DPW provides to DTS, also to provide progress on the implementation of both maintenance and capital programs that we have, and also to ensure what way forward we have in terms of corrective measures in that particular regard, in particular relating to the operational requirements of the Department of Correctional Services. Allow me, Mr. President, just to highlight, as a matter of background, the GIAMA, which is the Government Global Asset Management Act of Act 19 of 2007. This act calls for an effective and efficient use of immovable assets of government. And it places very specific obligations on the accounting office of the department to prepare and to ensure that immovable asset management plans are in place, so that we know that our assets are managed very prudently. The department, which is a user in this particular context of the Act, prepares a user asset management plan in relation to the immovable assets which aligns to strategic plans of that user department. Normally, all plans, according to the GIAMA requirements, should be placed 3 to 5 years in advance so that they coincide entirely with your MTF period. The Department of Public Works currently assisting the Department of Correctional Services in that particular regard. The UM, which is the User Asset Management Plan, are meant to support and ensure that when departments prepare their financial requirements or budget requirements to National Treasury in terms of removal assets, they are put in all records in terms of that requirement. It is common knowledge that Jefferson, that the Department of Correctional Services has a vast portfolio to the tune of 241 correctional centers, both medium maximum, female, youth, and prison farms. Individually, this comprises about 17,035 buildings or properties. Of that portfolio, 472 are leased properties. I must also say that the Department of Correctional Services has highly specialized installations such as your water and sewage work, integrated security systems and control rooms, as well as to mention but a few examples. The maintenance program for the Department of Correctional Services is addressed through the Department of Public Works on the basis of a program called the Repair and Maintenance Program, which is called REMP, and also on a day-to-day maintenance basis program. The Department of Public Works manages the following programs and budget for the Department of Correctional Services. I'm trying to address some of the key issues that you raised, and I'm working on the strategy to say must be very focused in terms of the issues we're addressing. One, we're managing the capital works program that deals with construction, upgrades, and additions. We also manage a program dealing with leases
That relates to leases of offices, residential, and community correction centers. Chairperson, I must also mention that capital, leasing, and municipal services budgets have been devolved to the Department of Correctional Services, but the function remains with the Department of Public Works. Said maintenance budget is within the ambit of public works and form part of the accommodation charges. I must also mention that in terms of a program that we have at public works, we have a client relationship management program, whereby specific issues are being discussed between departments, each in this particular instance of correctional services and public works, relating to specific challenges pertaining to maintenance, capital programs, leasing, to mention but a few. We have since November 2006 entered into a memorandum of understanding between the Department of Public Works and the Department of Correctional Services. Following that process, we have commenced and have had enough workshopping and interaction between the Department of Correctional Services and Public Works in respect of the service delivery standards. At this point, Chairperson, I must say, before a service level agreement can be finalized, the service delivery standards must be agreed upon, which has been a problem for quite some time in terms of finalizing the service delivery standards, both internally in public works as well as in DCS. Excuse me, Chairperson. I must say at this point in time, the service level agreement is in a draft form. We are refining the service delivery standards so that we ensure appropriate delivery mechanism and ensure that DPW will ensure that the services provided to the site department is up to standard. According to our business plan, Chairperson, we have to, by the end of this month, February 2010, make available draft service level agreement to the Department of Correctional Services for their perusal, interaction, and finalization. Chairperson, in pursuit of good client relationship management between ourselves and our clients, in particular DCS, we have held monthly bilateral meetings so that we could discuss progress reports in terms of all the projects in our implementation program. That includes your PMPI, Planned Maintenance Implementation Program, your Capital Works Program, your leasing portfolio. So far, we can confirm that we've had nine forum meetings. We've had 8 other meetings with DCS, and up until the end of 2009. We're also having a meeting with them to deal with matters pertaining to the housing policy and to raise that. Chairperson, I'm not all by myself. I believe we need a critical mass leader team to ensure that we achieve what is important in public works. At this point in time, I'd like to empower Sasa Subar so that she can proceed with the part of the duties that deals with planned maintenance, implementation program, its performance, finances, and how we're moving forward. Thank you very much. Sasa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Basically, if we just analyzed our planned maintenance implementation program, we went back to 2008-2009, where the allocation apportioned to DCS was 354 million rand. And of that, we managed to spend over 100%. Currently, we are sitting at 76% against the allocation of 641 million odd. This is at the end of December. In 2010-2011, a substantive part of our budget is also being allocated to DCS, which is 831 million rand. And this effectively will commence in April 2010. Chairperson, 37% of our total planned maintenance budget is allocated to DCS. This is the highest allocation in comparative to all our other client departments that is on our data, on our service delivery list. For us, what is of concern, and I was just going to go to the graph that basically illustrates the apportionment. 62% goes to about 20 other departments, and DCS receives 38% of our allocation. What consumes a substantive part of the DCS budget at the moment is the integrated security system projects. These were initially implemented by DCS and now require funding and maintenance by DPW, and these this comes at an exorbitant cost. And we've got to do an analysis to discern then, how and why we cannot prioritize right through the government portfolio, because we are sitting with 97,000 buildings, and we have a maintenance budget of just about 1.6 million rand. So you could actually do the math and understand that we really we require funding from National Treasury to address the maintenance requirements across the government portfolio. The capital works implementation program in 2007-2008, both at DPW and DCS, we didn't do very well in terms of the total expenditure. We spent 74%. There are historical issues around this, for example, the issues of security, who is going to implement that. As a result, we had the sign-off on the allocations quite late, and that impacted on expenditure per project. In 2008-2009, we had 808 million rand, nearly 809 million rand, allocated, of which we spent over 100% of the budget. Now, this is the budget that are allocated by DCS to DPW. We don't have visibility on the total capital budget that is allocated to DCS relative to the project, for example, on the security system, and I just use that as an example, that DCS undertakes as part of the implementation program. Currently, in 2009-2010, we allocated over 705 million rand, and in terms of the expenditure timeline, we're at 73%. We are 2% below. I think we should be at 75% at this particular stage, but we will expedite delivery on projects and hopefully have the reflection of last year. Currently, we are finalizing the implementation programs with DCS. We have been given a budget of 531 million. However, I think we've just recently been requested to put that on hold because there will be more funding for more critical projects that will be put on the implementation program. The strategic capital projects that are being handled by the Department of Public Works currently, where we try to give the focus areas, or make it the focus areas rather, is Kimberley New Generation Correctional Center. The facility is constructed at a cost of 830 million and occupation will be assumed shortly, and I'm assuming that all the defects that are there will be accordingly rectified in terms of the timelines and the contractual agreements that we do have with contractors on this project. The parole boards, we've completed 34 already, and 15 of the parole boards are in construction phase. The facilities under construction currently that are critical is Dunplay Correctional Center, Van Rensdorp Correctional Center, Ceres Correctional Center, and Zanine Correctional Center. The above projects are progressing well, and all efforts will be made by DPW to ensure that we expedite delivery and ensure that it's done timely. Town planning, chairperson, at this stage we've cleared various sites, and we are awaiting instructions from DCS to prioritize and provide us with program instructions to go through into construction phase. The sites that are currently being cleared is Paris, Inkandla, Lichtenberg, Sanditon, Zeres, Bergersdorf, and the correctional centers. We will discuss this on the challenges, but there's constant requests to regenerate options and rescope designs that also leads to delays in initiating and implementing these particular projects. The challenges, very quickly, we have overcrowding in prisons that leads to deterioration of infrastructure. We would have to look at that jointly as how we can overcome that. Obviously, one of the solutions or most obvious solutions would be to construct new prison facilities, pending obviously budget availability and so on. And DCS to advise on the status of the various PPPs and the options generated there for DCW to proceed, aligned also to the site delivery program that was mentioned earlier on. We do have insufficient capital and maintenance budget. This is across government. We experience this, and it's obviously now in terms of the economic downturn. Although we make substantive presentations and representations to National Treasury, we get very limited funding. We have to state that up front. One of the interventions we could look at is, and we are working on that jointly with DCS, is to partnership, a formal partnership and approach Treasury, and supported by the UN process, where we have both the options generated as well as to highlight the critical and the dangerous state of our DCS facilities. The professional capacity constraints that we have in general, once again, I think most infrastructure departments are confronted with this challenge, also leads to project delay. We have to say this up front. It is a problem within DPW. Although we are in earnest now trying to increase our capacity and attract better professionals out there, but it's not an easy task, we have to say up front. Adherence to supply chain management and compliance to building regulations. We do believe that our supply chain management processes requires an overhaul. The COO said to me that he's going to personally intervene so that we could shorten our processes therein, and this is also sometimes what leads to delays from the DPW perspective. The other challenges that we are confronted with, and this is a reality on the ground, is the changes to scope of work. We agree on the design, we agree on the scope, but on at the level where execution happens, there's constant changes to the scope, and this then affects the timelines relative to delivery, and the project execution plan is then moved out, later on. We do indicate to clients, even our forums, to kind of minimize scope changes, etc., so that we could have project delivery in terms of the agreed timelines, and more importantly, in terms of the agreed budget. Like earlier on indicated, Chairperson, the integrated security system and consumables absorbing a bulk of the maintenance budget, and we need to look at creative ways, once again, partnering with DCS on how we could curb the high expenditure in and around that. We also believe that security is core business of DCS. We have approached DCS to kindly take over that budget so that we could release more money for us to focus on our core business, which is maintaining and constructing buildings. And I know there's a discussion going on there between the DGs and the minister relative to that. But we'd also then, obviously, if we reach a deadlock, we have to get National Treasury involved, because we have to discern then where does the priorities actually lie. And with that, Chairperson, I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for honorable members who listen to us. We hope that we did not take 45 minutes, less than 25 minutes. Thank you very much.
and hope that the information we've provided shed some light on some of the issues raised. Thank you.
Thank you very much. COO or GPW, before we open up to members to comment, I'd like you to comment on the specific accusation and or apportionment of blame that Correctional Services apportioned to you. Let me read it to you again. Underspending under program facilities, mainly due to low spending of funds allocated for capital works projects, due to low or late billing from the Department of Public Works. What are your comments? We're sitting with a situation where when we ask why is there underspending in this department, we are told, in fact, it's not underspending. It's public works that haven't billed us on time. Please comment on it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Records available to me in terms of matters pertaining to billing as well as accommodation charges from public works to the Department of Correctional Services stands as follows as we speak by the end of December 2009. Correctional Services 456, which was the amount claimed, amount that we received is 4.72 in terms of millions. Percentage wise in terms of billing and recovery of money from this year is 97%. We are on course, so the statement doesn't make it incorrect.
Okay. Let's open up to members for comments before we move over to Correctional Services. Are there any comments that members would want to make in terms of the presentation? Any inputs? Let's take Mam Gwenya, followed by Mr. Self. Anybody, all members of Parliament are welcome, including Public Works, to comment. Mam Gwenya, Self, Mr. Fritz, and then Mam Nyanda. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, my comment will be on the delaying of building the facilities. But it is not enough for the DPW to state that the contract is 47% complete. Therefore, Chairperson, I think that the DPW must explain to us why there's this delaying of completing the facilities. I thank you.
Have you got a specific facility in mind? When you say facilities, is there one that you're talking about, or is it just general across the board?
I think there are five facilities. Chair, it's not clear about it. Some of these facilities, when we go to oversight, you'll find that there is not even a foundation for it. So we need explanation why.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chow?
Thank you, Chair, and likewise, thank you for the information. I'd like to just link on to the last question, just to focus specifically on Kimberley. Now, it was referred to earlier about the defect, and my understanding is that there are some defects which need still to be finished, but this project is very substantially delayed. I want to know why it was delayed, what the effect was on the budget initially, whether that delay related to scope changes or whether it related to other matters, and crucially, whether any penalties were exacted on contractors for late delivery of projects. The second question that I'd like to ask relates to the point that you, Chair, made earlier on about the horror stories. Now, I mean, we were in Bloemfontein last week. We went to Mangaung and then we went directly on the first day. Mangaung, you know, there were very, very few maintenance problems that I could discern. In first play, they struck you right between the eyes. There were, in one cell, two toilets, one was unusable, a bath where the water ran perpetually, and we were told the fault has been reported to Public Works, we're waiting on Public Works to fix. Now, this is a cell that is occupied by very substantial numbers of people in conditions which amount to sort of subhuman capacity. And the Department of Correctional Services blames Public Works. Now, is it true or isn't it true? What is the nature of the delay, and why can't these things be handled more effectively and more quickly? In that respect, this committee has always taken a view that we want to put as many inmates to work as possible, and one of the reasons that are advanced in our oversight visits why it's not possible for inmates to work as much as we would want them to work is that the responsibility for small-scale maintenance lies with Public Works. True? Not true. We'd like to know. Finally, just in terms of the PPPs, the presentation says that the DCS has to advise on the status of the PPPs. Now, we understand that tenders were invited, bids were submitted some considerable time ago. I think that the credibility of the South African government, never mind the respective departments, is on the line as to what's going to happen with those bids. And I would like to know when we are likely to get finalisation on that aspect. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Fritz?
I think Mr. Self asked most of my questions, but there's one I want to just add that I did too. And I want to ask whether there's any mechanism, a national one. What we find in a lot of our oversights is that you have very specific maintenance problems at a particular local level, at a particular correctional centre. Now I'm asking, is there any way that this information feeds into a national grid, so to speak? And the kind of response time, I think, adds to what Mr. Self asked. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. Mamnyanda?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, my question is that I don't think the department is telling us the truth by saying on the 15th of February the Kimberley prison will be open. Because when we reach there, the roof is leaking. Some of the toilets are not working. Even on the floor, there are floors that are not yet complete. When we were there, the construction were there. They are still busy. The 15th is next week. It's impossible. It can't happen. And my second question, Chairperson, is that not only Kimberley and Mangaung and the other prisons, all prisons when we visit oversight, they are all complaining. As my chairperson was saying, Mpumalanga, correctional service in that phrase, it's leaking. The roof is leaking. It's better when you go to the prison pharmacy, you find facilities are there. But in that phrase, the overcrowding, the center is leaking, and they are complaining, these people who are inside. They say when it's raining, they must run the other direction and go the other direction because they can't sleep. Thank you, chairperson.
Mam Daka.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for coming late. Thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, I would like to know from the Department of Public Works that who are you planning these facilities with? Do you sit with the Public Works Committee and the DCS or the Correctional Portfolio Committee before you construct the facility? Do you sit with them and show them your plan that you are going to build this kind of a facility? Much as the new Kimberley Correctional Center is not yet finished. But what I noticed there, Secretary, no, I was not impressed. We are not saying you must not build the beautiful or nice buildings for our offenders, but to build the laxative standards, the offender cannot feel that they are in prison. That one is like a hotel. You know, I was dizzy when we visited that correctional center. I was dizzy. And my mind said to time to think that I'm in a correctional center. I thought I was in a hotel. I even told them that after the walkabout in the center. You know, the hospital is like a private hospital. It's like a private hospital. You know, they cannot fit anything. You can release them today and they will go back tomorrow, because most of our homes are poorer than that prison. So that is why I'm asking, before you start anything, do you put the plan on the table with these two portfolio committees, saying that this is the plan that we have, and let's go and visit the site, let's discuss this plan, so that man, we cannot build such a lucrative prison again. Thank you, Jefferson.
Don't get emotional, man. Koshe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the Joint Portfolio Committees. You see, I think the difficulty, my name is Godfrey Wolifant, I'm chairing the Portfolio Committee on Public Works. The difficulty that you may share is that you might not know if other members raise their hand from the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, how to say you in the red jacket. So let me just do this quickly so that we, Manuel, if you can just indicate so that for the record you are here, we'll come back. We want them to let them give us their piece of.
Okay, good morning, good. My name is Doris Nombeni Venua. I'm a member of Public Works Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, my name is Maggie Mashala, Portfolio Committee of Public Works. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. I'm Tisa Zomakama, Public Works.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. I'm Noma Temba November, member of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works.
I'm Winston Awutapi, Portfolio Committee member of Public Works.
Thomas Ako.
Also, Julie Chaperson, James Matanko, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Lennox Keeler, member of the Portfolio Committee.
No, thank you very much. We'll remind you of the names as you go on, just so that, yeah. What is not very clear to me is what are the protocols in place for repair and maintenance. We understand, we hear about the broad, you know, policy issues. But for instance, if the lights are off in a prison and the globes are finished, the toilets are leaking, the roof is leaking, what happens? What is the turnaround time, if any? What are the protocols in place? I hear that the service level agreements, some of them are going to sign them in end of February. But this is not the first issue. I mean, what has been the precedent? I'm raising this question to both the correctional services officials and Department of Public Works. And Public Works raises a very interesting question about insufficient funding for capital and maintenance budget. We have looked into your pattern of spending. You are not going to spend all of the money that you have. So you might have to just expand a bit of that. I don't know whether this is a slide that the correctional services, but it's good that we can hear from both of you as well. If you say the integrated security system and the consumables are taking up a lot of money of all maintenance, you are raising an issue that says the money for maintenance is going to security, and they are drinking a lot of coffee with that money. I don't know what other consumables, if they have got hot ones as well. But maybe we should clarify that if you say a lot of money is going there. The department in public works, in their defense, I think we need to get some engagement on this issue. I'm saying to the extent that they were invoiced, they have paid up to 97% in December. So there is a dislocation, a disconnect between the delays in payment and so on. So we just have to just take that up a bit and understand what is happening. Now the regeneration, re-scoping of design, where does that fit? Could we get some example? If you are going to take that as an excuse for delay, give us practical examples, for instance, where that happened. Is Kimberley part of us? And who proposed the redesign and re-scoping? Is that a matter between the Department of Public Works and the contractors? Where does correctional services come into the play? Or is it a matter of correctional services? I'm asking for some re-scoping of design and specific language. But maybe I should leave that let's say so that we can.
No, thanks very much. Just one final question from my side, or maybe a comment rather than a question. You indicate to us that you had a memorandum of understanding in 2006, and I would assume that it would have moved towards a service level agreement. 6 years later, we still don't have a service level agreement. 2010, 4 years later. I don't understand how it takes us 4 years. And maybe we should also indicate that for us the service level agreement would inform the relationship. If there is nothing that informs the relationship, I can tell correctional services, I'm going to find it very difficult approving a budget. I'm saying this to you right now. I'll find it very difficult approving a budget if there's no governance to the money. If there's no governance to that money, I don't think that we're going to be convinced that we're going to approve that budget. So I'm just struggling to understand why 6 years down the line we still do not have a service level agreement, and yet we're having budgets of millions of rands. And then the final point from my side, public works, just assist me. My understanding was that you have a budget allocation. In other words, 10 million rand will go towards correctional services or whatever the figure might be. Now, are we saying that the rand or the requirement follows the rand, or shouldn't it be the rand follows the requirement? If you think we're going to allocate 30 million rand to correctional services, and yet you don't even know what correctional services requirements are, is that not the wrong way of doing things? Shouldn't we be saying, correctional services, what are your requirements? There might be some that are standard. We change globes every year, or whatever the case might be. But shouldn't the rand follow the requirement, as opposed to having the rand there, and then these guys coming with their requirements? I just need clarity on that. Thanks. And if you could answer those questions, we'll take a second round. We'll take a second round if necessary. Is there a question before? No, Mamdaka, maybe you'll take those that haven't had an opportunity. We'll have a second round before you, Mamdaka. Can we take this and take another one? Okay, we'll have a second round of questions. Thanks. It's 5 to 10. We give you 10 minutes to respond if you want to engage on methods of correctional services as well. Chairperson, thank you very much. And a lot of members. Quite an array of questions, but let me try to answer them in 10 minutes. It's good that you're giving me in terms of time. Chairperson, let me start at the end, so that I go backwards. I don't know if I said the wrong word, but the point you raised in terms of the requirements, especially and the rest thereafter, is the most ideal situation, which is not necessarily the applicable situation now. What is actually happening now is the random requirement later and the change. Let me put it in this particular manner. You find in certain instances, which we indicated in the presentation, that you have the requirement be put in place and attach value in terms of the rent to that particular requirement. And in that particular process, there will be changes like the chairperson and all the funders indicated in terms of scope. That will ensure that, or that will mean that you have to increase the rent against the requirement. So it changes the formula. In certain instances, we have the rent the requirement first. In certain instances, we have the requirement the rent subsequently. The question of the memorandum of understanding, which was signed in 2006, is correct, Chairperson, that was done. It's not a question of 4 years later that nothing has actually happened in terms of the service level agreements or the service delivery standards. In that the business plan requirement in terms of developing service level agreements and service delivery standards is a result of the KIAMA Act, which only came in 2008 for implementation purposes. So it leads us to almost about 2 years to finalize and ensure that we have the user asset management plans in 3 years and 5 years. Chairperson, the question pertaining to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works that relates to the question of protocols pertaining to lights and toilets and minor maintenance repairs required in correction services is that we departments in this particular instance, the correction services, do have a delegation to the bill of 20,000 rand to do minor repairs such as the globes, smaller and other things here and there, and they must be implemented. It is not necessarily always the responsibility of public works to repair lights and globes because of that delegation is there. It's the question of buying globes and moving them following the proper procurement procedure and ensuring that we can remain accountable in that particular respect. So the question of delegation is up there. The question of consumer wealth as well as the question of integrated security system, UIS, in terms of insufficient funding, it's correct that a lot of money is being spent in terms of provision of this particular security facility as compared vis-a-vis maintenance. Chairperson, only fund the redesign of scope as well as the rescoping of facilities that result into changes and brings about delays in project implementation are a result of advice in most instances from the flight to public works. One example I can cite is the prison. We have had some delays in terms of the rollout of that particular program. Initially, it was designed to cater for about 254. As developments unfolded, as well as the requirements for additional bed capacity, it was redesigned for 500. So as a result, let me say 500 plus. As a result, once the designs are finalized, and you bring a requirement for additional capacity, obviously it impacts on the design. So that is a particular situation. The scope changes have taken place at Parade Correctional Services, Lastenberg, Standard 10, Zeras, and Berhazal. Kimberley was a pilot project, and we had some few changes in terms of the scope change requirements by TCS. But I'll come back to the question of Kimberley in more detail when I report to the question relating to the cost of delays, so that I actually put my case much more stronger at that point. Chairperson, let me go to the question is by Mamdak. I'm very sorry the President don't look me for like regulatory, but well, I can confirm that yesterday en route to this particular meeting we had Kimberley. The question of the 15th of February is a reality. From the side of public works, what we do is we do a full facility snag list, which means that we check that in terms of the building, it is up to scratch. But there are snags or issues that require to be repaired, such as the flooring, not the entire prison facility, such as smaller leakings here and there. Those are in the normal course of the construction industry. that you need to correct in any event. I can confirm that the required flooring in terms of the snag list for finalization in Kimberley is 480 square meters. If you compare that facility against the required snag list requirement, so we're ready to ensure that it may be, it's made available. It has been officially handed to correctional services in terms of pre-completion to ensure that it's available for use. There are smaller areas which require attention here and there that is correct. I've also noted the question of the Kimberley, of the nerve break leaking, and we will look into that, and Sata will respond to that at the point in time in terms of what we want to do in terms of the way forward. The question which was raised by Mr. Sell in terms of the triple T's, the Department of Public Works is not involved in the negotiations of triple T's. The plan department are involved jointly with Treasury in those particular negotiations. In that instance, the responsibility of Public Works is to ensure that the site is cleared, the bulk services are available, the site environmental impact assessment to a great extent warrants that some construction can take place on that particular site. The question that might be debated at a certain point in time, but for now I'm just addressing the role of Public Works in terms of that. Let me deal with the question pertaining to Kimberley and the defect in terms of the Kimberley production facilities. Yesterday we instructed the consultants to do the final infrastructure performance test. That will deal with issues pertaining to your generators to say, are they functioning? Do you have sufficient water? Do you have sufficient light in the event that it becomes dark or whatever the case might be? So the final intention is to ensure that by the 15th of February, we have a final report, which is your final handover report, to say, in view of the things that you raised before, that you were next, we have addressed them, and this is a final report to confirm that they've been addressed. What we'll do from the infrastructure point of view is to ensure that we keep money of retention, so that in the event there are challenges pertaining to those particular snag lists addressed, we're able to utilize that money, because if you give the consultant the contractor money to actually leave site without that particular retention, then have a problem. The question of Kimberley correctional service in terms of delays. One, the excessive inclement weather. There was a delay to the extent of about 3 to 4 months, which was caused by rain. And when there is rain, like when we build a house, we said obviously when we build the old house and it rains, we stop the building. So we actually stopped the construction on site as a result of rain. But we do not necessarily put the penalty on the contractor or on ourselves, because it's no cost. In terms of the, we use the ABCC committee agreement to determine as to whether who do we cost and who we don't cost. But in this particular instance, as a result of rain, we do not do costing. In the event that extra work required, which results in the change of design and scope and additional work required because the original architectural work did not take into consideration any requirement, we'll always have extra work and we'll actually ensure that there's extension of cost in terms of the particular situation. In certain instances, you have a situation whereby the Department of Correctional Services, in this particular instance, advises to do certain things in terms of small change. Any change costs money. That's a little of the situation. There are delays which might be caused by a contractor, which in the Kimberley case were not there, and there were not the extension of time because the contractor could not assume that as a result of weather. So the contractor is not liable for any payment in terms of that. You will remember there was also the question of countrywide load shedding. A site of that magnitude which require about 860 to 850 million to construct would require a lot of electricity. So once there's load shedding, there are delays. There was also a question of labor unrest in that particular area, which to a great extent has not caused significant delay, but I think it's important to mention some of the characteristics that result into the question of delays. In the last 2 years, we had a situation whereby there was a shortage of steel, and cement in the country as a result of the construction which was booming in terms of the stadium in preparation for 2010. And the question of supply and demand, in terms of supply, was very limited, but the demand was high, particularly in terms of Kimberley. So the supply of that material could actually, or the inadequate supply, resulted into very minimum efficiency rate in terms of the actual building. I think that was actually addressed the question that were raised by Mr. Sell. The other question was the question of delayed buildings and facilities. I think I've addressed it. I've also indicated that the question of site clearance causes some problems. And Chairperson, the question of late billing was also addressed in terms of the 97%. And I think whatever might have actually left us, can we just brief the committees? It doesn't close in terms of my response. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've covered most of the aspects. I've highlighted a few perhaps that we need to respond to. Relevant to planned maintenance, if there's a grid or response grid, we do have the planned maintenance, the day-to-day maintenance call center, where all calls of a day-to-day nature or emergency nature is recorded. Now, what actually happens is that my understanding is that the DCS has representatives, facilities managers, I would assume, or logistical managers at various facilities that will log this call. There's a definite process in place for this. If it's an emergency, then DPW needs to respond at least by 2 to 3 days or 1 day, even depends on the nature of the emergency. So there is a call center, and we can provide reports, etc., in this regard, and that's per regional office. I have to admit, though, the call center at this stage is not an integrated system where you can pull out reports at a head office level. It's all at the different regional offices, so we do have that. Relevant to the time period that one actually we have to look at in terms of the construction. And that will answer the question of 47%. It's difficult, Chair, because I don't know which project this is linked to or projects, but in general, a project has a life cycle. Okay. That particular life cycle will depend on when the planning started, when the budget was allocated, when did we go into design, etc., and when the sign-off was received by the client. And then that would also take into consideration the question that was asked relevant to who then signs off on the design, etc. The initial requirements are the requirements of the client. They submit a needs assessment through to Public Works. So we work with that as our base document. When we go into design and documentation, the client, Public Works, project manager, the professional competency within Public Works, as well as the client, sit down and scope and design a project with the consultant, and sign-off happens at various stages, pretty much like any other construction project. So that is done. Also, we have to take into consideration as DPW, dealing with about 38 clients' departments, we're not able to dictate in the environment because we are not the experts in terms of discerning what are a client's requirements. We can, from the building perspective, we can indicate these are norms and standards that are in place. But relevant to a requirement, for example, DCS may have, in terms of a particular facility, certain statutory requirements that they need to conform to, which requires to be respected and embodied in a particular tender document. So that obviously gets done. So to answer the question, the client, dictates the requirements, DPW dictates the built environment requirements. Consumables, I think the items that take up the most amount of money relevant to DCS is coal and fuel. Coal for the boilers and fuel for generator septic, so that does consume a lot of the money. Did I miss anything? Relevant to the question on PPPs, unfortunately, although we do understand, like somebody mentioned, the PPPs are coming historically over 5 years and it's not getting off the ground. And we did, DCS, spend a lot of money on feasibility studies, on design, on documentation, and this is a pure relationship that was mainly between our witness team, because all PPPs require us to get registered at National Treasury, and I stand at a correction here when I say this, that it would have been a relationship between National Treasury and DCS. There was, however, at intervals where DPW was called in to do an assessment when the cost implications came through, and DPW were asked to run other options or look at why the costs were so high. That was the only time that we got to have visibility over the PPP projects. I think we've covered most of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much. I'll take a list of other members. Honorable Magama, Mamdaga, you'll follow up. Nengwane and Mangwenya, we'll come to all the others. But I wanted the correctional services just to have a right of reply as well and to clarify certain issues. But
Thanks so much, Chair, for the opportunity. My name is Debo Moseki. I'm the Chief Deputy Commissioner for the function called Correction, and I'll not go into the details about what it means, but I'm leading this delegation here. There are, of course, questions, Chair, that were raised to Public Works, which I felt if you let any data, if some of those questions we had equal opportunity of answering. I think they were in a difficult spot trying to answer some of those questions, which I must admit they have done very well answering them. Indeed, the responsibility to manage the PPP is entirely the DCS responsibility as defined by the Treasury regulation. It's a type of work that we do in consultation as prescribed in law with DPW to the extent that the mandate of that department requires, and I think Mr. Malide is right, that part of the responsibility is identification of land clearance and so on. The concern raised by Mr. Self is seriously noted, and I do think that we have in the previous occasion responded to this specific issue in our specific case in respect of the invitation of tenders. We are still within the grace period, and it's something that we're working hard on, and we hope that we should be able to deal with this matter within the provided grace period. The second issue that was raised, I think, by Ms. Mdaka, Chair, relates to whether when we build the facilities that we do, whether we present this in front of the portfolio committee for approval and so on. The records of this our specific portfolio committee chair do speak in detail to this specific issue. We have made several presentations around that specific design that, as Mr. Malida said, became a pilot of the work that we needed to do. And so unavoidably, there was going to be a bit of problems here and there in the case of that specific design and piloting it. We have piloted it with Kimberley. We are carrying on piloting it in a number of centers around the Western Cape, where we do replacement projects with the assistance of Public Works. Ordinarily, as Ms. Malilo has said, we will have a situation such as the one where a handover from consultants to DPW and ourselves takes place, and our responsibility taking over that facility within a grace period, I can't remember, I think it's 6 months, provided for warranty by consultants or the contractor. We do a testing program. I'm sure that when we went to Kimberley, we sent some inmates there. The object of that is really to test the system to its limits and see whether within that warranty period there are any defects which can. So it's not so much that quite a substantial lot of work is being done, which was not foreseen at the time of handover. It's part of the same process that within that period of 6 months, you must attempt to test, so that because the warranty is provided, the contractor can still come in. So within this period of that 6 months, Honorable Chair, there is still going to be constant work between us, the contractor, and public works. But the point I wanted to make with due respect is that the specific design, which at the time was called the New Generation Prison, was presented to the Portfolio Committee several times. Its basic focus was to improve security, which I think you'll agree with me that having seen Kimberley, in spite of all other problems, security is sufficiently improved there, to promote direct supervision and to enable direct supervision in the sense that you've got a grouping of inmates locked in a specific portion of the facility, which can directly be supervised by two or three officials, different from what you have seen elsewhere, where we have long corridors where you need to have officials patrolling, quite a number of them patrolling on an ongoing basis. This enables those sorts of things. So because the facility is new, Chair, it might appear very glamorous, and Ms. Ndaga calls it luxury, but it may appear very glamorous. But in fact, in my view, Chair, I think this is what we need. If we have to improve security, if we have to rehabilitate offenders, I think it's crucial. And I don't remember the Portfolio Committee for that matter raising any objection to the specific design per se. So indeed, we have consulted around those specific issues. Thank you so much, Chair.
No. So thank you very much. In my line of people who are going to speak, I've got here on my list Ms. Honorable Magama, Mdaka, Mengwani, Kenya, and I think it's Nyanda. Mdaka. All right. But obviously, as we take those things, there are still issues that we shall return to check, particularly the issue of reporting. The reports that we are promised, we can get reports about the maintenance costs, the content, whatever, and also to check the proposal that was given about an integrated approach in this matter, a national cut of some sort. We have to return to this issue of the consumables, because it's a problem. Unless there is an issue that you raise to say how do we resolve this. I think that we have to return to. We might have to engage more, maybe even not exhaustively in this meeting, just as some lessons into the Kimberley project. My chair tells me that this project initially cost us $250 million. It was supposed to be completed in 2008. We have had a 2 year delay, and the cost has escalated to $830 million. Obviously, we've got to learn from this lesson and see how what do we do as we go into other programs. We'll come back to some of these issues as we go forward. Don Maka, come on.
I just want to comment first on this issue of the budget that lies with DCS, the function that lies with public works. This has been a matter that has been raised, you know, constantly. Now, Chair, to me, it's an issue that I think is being used as a scapegoat for our own inadequacies. This is the case precisely so that these departments must engage and interact and pool their resources to make this project a reality. The fact that the budget lies elsewhere and the function lies elsewhere should not be an impediment. In fact, combined with two departments, are then able to deliver even better than one which has been able to on its own. So rather as an impediment, it should be used viewed as an opportunity and used to that extent. The The very first issue on the presentation is rent. Now, if all maintenance requirements are being addressed through REM, and of course day-to-day maintenance, why the state of facilities seen by honorable members? Clearly, there's a problem, whether it's human error or systemic error in terms of problems in terms of REM, but REM is not doing it for us. And that's the experience of honorable members with the oversight visit. So I think I need clarity on this. In spite of REM being there, that should deal with this issue. Why still this state of facilities? Chair, to me there is a disjunction between the report provided by Public Works here and the experience of the honorable members and the inspecting judge. Now, suffice to say, the issue of the state of prisons in this country, of correctional facilities in this country, has been a matter that has been raised year in, year out, by the inspecting judge especially. And I get the impression that this situation is not necessarily improving. That's the impression, it's not a conclusion, it's an impression. Finally, Chair, it is well and fine that 70% of 97% sorry, of invoices. But again, to me, there again is another disjunction. There's a disconnect between the amount of money, or at least the percentage that has been spent vis-à-vis the outcomes in terms of addressing these issues that are problematic, as experienced by the honorable members and various reports by the inspecting judge. I need clarity on some of these issues. So thank you.
Thank you, Mamda.
Thank you, Chairperson, for responding to the responses of responding to the responses of DCS. Some of my questions might be irrelevant because I'm new to this committee. Chairperson, my questions would be around the facilities under construction. There is a Brent Flame Correctional Center, fundraise job, you name them, there are four that are under construction. When did you start these facilities? And when are you finishing them? If the portfolio committee of public works and correctional services never visited these correctional centers while are under construction, I would think yourself, it's high time for them to organize a joint oversight visit to these four centers. You see, it's useless to deal purposely with paper and then when they come and tell us that we are finished now, so we are opening this on Saturday, whereas we never visited whilst we were under construction. So my belief is to free. So if these two committees never visited these centers, you must talk to, yes, you must propose the person that we visit them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mamda. Send this is all yes. Okay, Mamda.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's my observation, Chairperson, that I think there is a um, distance almost along the line between DCS and CCW. There is a communication breakdown because we hear this from CCS and then we hear the other the other comment from CCW. Right, you hear that the money comes from National Treasury, but does CCW and CCS sit down and plan the priority that would, in this area, this is our priority, would like to alleviate the overcrowding in this? I would like to know that. Much as that the budget comes from National Treasury. Secondly, we've heard from IDT, they tell us of this fiscal dumping. When these other departments see that it's time for them to get the budget, they just dump the budget with the DPW. I'm not protecting them, but it's a reality we've heard it. Is that not happening with the DPW? Secondly, with this day-to-day call center, do you have a way of monitoring them? I mean, if we hear from DCS that almost all the prisons are leaking, I mean, if there is a call center that does that almost every day, I mean, besides changing of the files and all that, does it go somewhere where at the end of the day, maybe once a month, you monitor whether this job was done correctly or wasn't done? Do you have that information?
Thank you very much, Mangwenya.
Thank you, Chair. Chaperson, I think today Chaperson must get the truth. Ngoba uma ubiza le ivukelihlolayo. Namhlanje da here both department and the faculty. We need to get a clear explanation, Chaperson. Chaperson, kombe umama umdaka usengikhavile ngokuthi ama facilities lawo ubuzile ukuthi aqalwa nini azophela nini. But okungaqaci la ukuthi how much they've been spent. Chaperson, we want to know as this committee from each and every center, as they say it here on page 6, ukuthi kwaqalwa nini and kwafanele kuphele nini and how much has been spent. Over two chapters, both departments, they must take us serious. And they were supposed to stick to that time frame. Thank you, Chapters.
Thank you, Ms. Mongwe. Another question?
I think, Chair, mine is probably the same vein. I just want to refresh the memory of the Department of Public Works, and I think that the salt question around the delays and the cost implications, I don't think you dealt with the cost implications. And if I refresh your memory, you will remember that the initial quotation for the Kimberley, and let's just deal with Kimberley quickly, the new generation, was 250 million was the original quotation. At some point, because of some delays, it went up to 465 million. Then at some point, it went to 685 million. And it is today, we were just informed by you that it now stands at 800 and something million. And I think somehow we need some explanation for not only the fact that people were struck at steel because of failure that were built, but I think some more substantive explanation for why such a huge cost. The result is absolute monetary taxpayers' money. Now, I want to ask one very simple question. Mangaung in Bloemfontein were built in a specific period for a specific amount. They were told by government, finish that, and they did it. Now, is it just pure public service inadequacy? Is it pure public service incompetence that allows that? And recent years, politicians, and we see the delays, and we see millions of taxpayers' money, my money, I must pay back to SARS, you know, for last year's assessment. I'm angry when I hear money is being wasted like this. And I want to ask, please give us some tangible explanation for that, Mr. Chair. I don't want to go to Van Rijnstorp, I was invited, I think, more than a year ago to come to the opening. I'm still not finished, you know, so, and I think I was covered with Madaka. Perhaps you must do some of those type visits to some of those four places. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I'm glad that you're angry. Let's take Mumata.
Thanks, Jefferson. Jefferson, I'm not going to be long because some of my questions have been asked by honorable members, especially honorable member Makama when he asked about this ramp. I want to know the reason why these maintenance requirements are always addressed through it, because it seems there's a delay in some way, somehow. That's my first question. I also, again, the chairperson of the correctional services touched my misunderstanding about the memorandum of understanding, which was concluded in November 2006. And then this service delivery standard, which was developed and workshopped, when was it done? Because it was workshopped, but not yet implemented. It is said that it's going to be circulated by the end of February. And it is still in a draft form. And I think as portfolio committees, both of portfolio committees, we need to understand exactly what is entailed in this service level agreement. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Robert. That was where the list was ending, but I've noted two more hands. You have one, Mam Kaila, you follow. And then, Mam Dada, I'll give you again, but you know, I'm a guest here. Mam Bagashile, you can blaze on the chair, you see, so that, you know, write down so that you put everything together. I'm going to come back to you, but don't do it again, because now it means a social level of service. I'm just said. Okay, well, let's take it, Mam Kaila and then Mam Dada. And then we'll take it from.
Thank you, Chef. My problem here is the scope, the change of scope. And I think there's a problem somewhere. We either are not being told the truth. The truth of the matter, in a construction site, your scope change is about 10-15%. And with that 10-15%, that is allowable on your site, talking from experience. Now, once your scope changes 50%, it means that there was no proper planning from the word go. Because maybe when it's 50%, you're doubling the building. Either there's no proper planning or else you're dumping money. Those are the two things. Because you can never have a 50% scope change. So I would like DC to just explain what causes the scope change. Because you cannot, not in a proper level, 50% scope change. That is totally out. If you plan properly, you plan for, say, for 500 cells, why all of a sudden do you have 800 cells? Where did the money come from? So that's where my problem is, the scope change. Why do you have 50%? Why do you have double the amount of pulling? Either you didn't plan properly, you didn't have meetings with the two departments, didn't have meetings, or else you are dumping money. That's the only reason you can have more than scope change. So I would like more explanation on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, bro. Funda.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry, I'm team. Okay. Chairperson. I'm very, very confused. My confusion is this under calendar. If you can clarify to me about this professional capacity constraint as lead seller leads to project delays, can you clarify this? What is this professional capacity constraint? They were undercapacitated or they were few. I mean, if you can clarify this. If you can clarify that, I will be happy. Thank you.
I was not saying you must not speak. All I'm saying is that wait for the new chair. You see, and you can speak when he gives you another chance. You can ask as many times from him, from me, and your father.
My dad.
Okay, you must ask your dad then. maybe let's just read around, give the correctional services first and then the department so that you respond to whatever the issues that you want to respond to. But part of the, one of the issues that you've got also to respond to is the small one, where you've got a delegation of 20 million, or 20,000 almost, all right. Is it on a monthly basis? Per item. In other words, if the toilet is blocked, they can fix it. So it should have 20,000. I see. So let me enter the table.
No, thanks. I must say that I have things that I wanted to say which may have included some of the issues that have been raised now, and so we'll preempt quite a lot of what one wanted to say at some point, given an opportunity. But, Chair...
Baba, you've got the floor, you see. You can't leave us like that to say you've got things that you wanted to say, but you to preempt certain things, and then you don't say them.
I will say them.
No, just you've got the floor, answer to the question and say what you have to say. So you don't blame us for not allowing us you an opportunity to say what you want to say. The floor is yours.
It is true that our areas where the prison is have got a delegation of spending 20,000. But for all intents and purposes, quite a lot of that will be for a number of things that we are capable of doing ourselves through our own labor resource. Where, for instance, we have trained inmates or we have our own personal capacity to fix a window here, to unblock a toilet there, and so on. A substantial number of things that create a problem are either a result of inadequate maintenance over a period of time, which when that specific thing happens, the scale on its own just is much bigger. So it's just not a blockage. But the whole system, by the time you pick up, the whole sewage system is actually seriously affected because maintenance did not take place as required over a period of time. And so you might think it's at a specific time, but it affects the entire. And in that specific case, by the time you discover, you will indeed register a call through the control center. The experience I'm giving now is that there will not be an immediate response. And so this problem will escalate until any member of the committee comes, visit, and finds it there, which will have been a problem over the last week or two. And so that specific center will have encountered. Now, quite frankly, if this was an office somewhere in the city center, I would live with it. I mean, it will not be a bit of a problem you can arrange. In a prison, that's a security threat. And so the issues about service level standards, the questions you are raising, Chair, about the turnaround time and those sort of things, are very important in a prison. They are not things that we can treat casually at all. They are unfortunately very important. They don't threaten the lives of the inmates, they threaten the lives of our own staff. And so it kicks in an emergency response and a constant requirement of extra personnel. So it has unrelated consequences. It may be a motor of a gate that is not working. It may look easy for a house, for a household with a motor not working. But in a prison, it requires an extraordinary measure. It instantly puts up that extra burden on the system of prison. So I'm saying this chair, just to go back to the chair session of the correctional services portfolio committee to say that at the heart of it perhaps is that we need to be finishing the maintenance issues with bit of speed. The service level agreement issues with bit of speed, because that's where the turnaround times and so on issues will come in. So I'm really just emphasizing this thing because in the manner I do, because I don't want to talk about it theoretically. I do want you to know that it's a threat for one day, just for one day with a gate not working, or for one day with a toilet blocked. It's a threat to the system. It requires that you move resources from elsewhere and move in that specific direction. In the case of Sanin and the specific question about the scope, it may take a bit of time, but I'll try and shorten it. We are in a constant evaluation to find out what is an optimal size of our facility, such that we are able to operate with minimum resources. So, for instance, if you were to build a 250-bed space, and the resources you require to manage it far outweigh the benefits you get, and then you discover in your analysis that a 500-bed space is better than 200, both in terms of scale, economies, and the operational cost later on, you unavoidably come to a conclusion that I possibly have made a mistake by prescribing 250 bed space. In fact, what I mean for optimal management of the facility is 500. So I'm saying we are, and it may well be that it's our responsibility, heading our public works to invite tender for 250 and later on ended up being 500. Our sense is that building 500 is cheaper than building a 250 bed space. Operating 500 bed space is cheaper than operating 250 bed space. And that, at that specific moment, that's the only reason why we ended up with a scope change. I do agree, Chair, that the issue about the location of the budget vis-a-vis the function creates an opportunity, but it can equally create a problem. In the same way, it creates an opportunity under normal circumstances. In other instances, it can potentially create a problem, unfortunately. And so, indeed, I think for both departments, it's an opportunity that we are grappling with on an ongoing basis to find out what these opportunities are and how do we take advantage of those opportunities. But quite frankly it may have worked better if the money and the functions reside under one roof, and we do not have to define issues of relationship too, because somebody has got both the money and the responsibility. Quite frankly, it may have worked better, but at the moment we end up with the money, which in my view, this is really why we're meeting here today, because the money is somewhere else and the function is somewhere else. That's really why we're meeting. And it does indeed, quite frankly, suggest that the opportunities that were there to be taken advantage of are indeed a challenge. And so I do accept that this meeting provides us with an opportunity and perhaps to get for myself the need for maximum cooperation. It does provide that opportunity, and I do believe that it's an opportunity to take advantage of with her. Just last to share, the issues around which our chair has embraced, they remain the issues. Indeed, our budget, the expenditure on our budget moves very slowly over a period of time. And in particular, this specific December, I'm setting up going to spend 100% of our facilities budget, which thanks to Public Works and our corporation, we're able to spend 100% of that budget last year. The problem is not so much whether it has been spent at 100%. The problem is how the expenditure grows over a period of a year, such that we spend 50% of the budget in the remaining 3 months. I think that's what the problem is. And so we have to come here and we have to ask questions about why has he spent 50% when we're supposed to have spent 40%. I'm saying now, and I'm confident we will be able to, spend our 100% of the budget. But it means that in the last 3 months, half of that budget will be spent and invoiced. And of course it creates a problem if we have to come here and be asked why 20% as opposed to 50%. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Captain and honourable members. For the record, Captain, it's very important to confirm that we do not have between Public Works as well as Correctional Services communication breakdown. We communicate every day at different levels. I've also indicated in my presentation that we have multiple bilateral meetings. We deal with issues pertaining to capital work implementation program, plan maintenance, leasing, and the rest. We have today had 9 plan forum meetings and have also had other meetings. Sir President, allow me also to address the question pertaining to the... I'm not saying all is perfect, all is well. I'm saying, yes, a lot of work has been done between both departments. We also recognize the challenges. We have determined kind of intervention programs to ensure that we deal with those particular issues. Let me also get back to the question pertaining to the harsh reality, the scientific facts pertaining to climate. In June 2004, a prototype was determined to the extent of building the Kimberley Correctional Services. Costed at 750 million. That is correct. In April 2005, we invited tender. Tender estimate was 463. The tender price came at 499. Let me pause there. When a consultant designs and costs a specific project, he only provides estimates. You will only determine the actual cost of that particular site once the facility has been completed and has been signed off. So it's important as to how we use which figures at what stage and which statements do we say in terms of those figures as to the utilization for capital works programs or for maintenance. We can't insinuate waste of money, waste of taxpayers' money without adequate picture to say what has actually transpired. As a result of the 499 million tender prices by contractors, the Department of Correctional Services joined with Public Works said, let's go back to the drawing board and determine why the deficiencies. July 2006, pre-tender estimates for the second time now our tenders came to 630 million. Do your actual assessment in terms of which contractor, in terms of the building, let's say, bill of quantities or the tender price, will be able to provide this particular service at this quality, at with capacity, and within the time frame of 24 months, following the procurement guidelines, we come to our tender at 662 million. Reason for increase in terms of price. The reality is material costs do increase. 5 years ago, pocket of cement, 25 francs. 2010, pocket of cement, 65 francs. Fuel prices, cost of transporting material from supplier or producer to site, also increases. Labor costs also increases. You all know about the negotiations in terms of increment of salaries and the rest of the other issues. It is correct that the project has been financed by the DCF Capital Works project. The estimated final cost would be 813 million, 880, Yesterday we confirmed in terms of all the connectors and the churches will amount to about 857. But so be it up to that point. Until we now finalize the whole formula in terms of the finance figures, it might go less because these are only estimates in terms of what the project that we can actually spend in terms of the process. The remaining zeros in terms of the connectors which I indicated, Mr. Chair. I think it's also very important to realize that Kimberley has indeed started on 14 November 2006. Contractual period towards completion date was November 2008. There was a delay of about 11 months. The actual completion period was 30 October 2009, but before the actual completion period, they were already made moving in. And then TCS took over the facility in December 2009, looking forward to 15 February 2010. There's also another point that I must actually address in terms of the triple P. When we refer to issues pertaining to triple P, we tell you the truth. The truth is that triple P's have been handled in terms of responsibilities of accounting officers of departments in conjunction and consultation with Treasury within a specified framework. Public Works, in consultation with BCS, it is particularly interested to deal with the question of the site. Here and so that the site is feasible and it can be utilized for any intended purpose. Chairperson, allow me also to address the question pertaining to the scope change. It's a scientific fact that we can change scope up to 80%. There's no law that says change only up to 5%, 10%, or 20%. Depending on your requirements and the changes, you can change the scope 20, 30, 40% level without affecting the cost. However, you can also change the scope as an additional portion, or whatever the case might be, with your affecting the cost, meaning you can actually increase the cost or decrease the cost. It's unfortunate that it does happen in terms of the industry. So you've got to look into that particular one. The question of the new facilities which are under construction, they are indeed under construction. The information can be made available to the Joint Portfolio Committees in writing so that you can be able to know which ones would like to be first and last, and then what are the cost implications for this type of construction, because those details we do have now in the screen, but we have not actually made printouts available, but the information is available. On the screen now we have the service delivery standards, which are for our services and agreement. Since 2006, Chairperson, we have been working hand in hand with DPS. We have been delivering projects together, and ensuring that we provide constant facility. So SLA is an added-on in terms of the GMA requirement to ensure that it's all happening. I think, Chairperson, from my side, understand that members would like to add one or two things. I'll address my case there.
Case is arrested. Are there any additions? Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the issue of bilateral, I think it's an important point, and I don't know if, because my personal view is I think the wrong perception is being created, because from my side, in terms of the key account management units, we do have structured bilaterals. We also do program management across 11 regions. It's not easy. And we have one client services director that supports GCS. We go through each program, so that's the plan maintenance implementation program, where the projects are on the program. I can provide an example here. The capital works implementation program that we look at and interrogate, that's an example of the capital works program. Comes from various regions with comments per project, the projects that have been funded. And we also go through the leasing implementation program and discuss challenges, etc. And with that, also from the DCS side, there's always interventions with public works. We visit regions that basically are problem areas, and we try to find solutions going forward. So I would, if I may, ask the chair to perhaps pose that question so we could clear that perception, or maybe enhance the relationship if it's but for me, I would like that. I don't know if I can ask that. But And I think also relevant to the maintenance backlog, I think we would look at in the context of entire government. We're sitting with a 24 and billion rand backlog, and that was done in 2016 and escalated accordingly. When we sit with the, for example, the DOD portfolio committee, it's a similar issue in and around that because of the lack of budget, et cetera, that we allocated. We did spend accordingly, except for the capital budget in 2007-2008. But be that as may, when something becomes a project, we spend according to the project. And that's what there might be in some cases that we don't spend accordingly on the project. But the more money we have, the more projects we can generate and the more problems we can address. Okay. Yeah, that's basically it. Thank you.
Mama, the chair will take over just shortly. So you are thinking you recognize it. You see, I'm glad that you invited us to come to those meetings so that we don't get it from other sources as to what is happening. It's an eye-opener. Lalela that. You see? Because I think we're very serious here about what we need to do. It's not a matter of just coming here and scoring points about one department or another department. The president has made it very clear about the efficiency and effectiveness of the public service in general. So we can't ask for less than that. What that means also is that we might have to engage into how is the national planning or the overall planning of service in terms of going forward. When, you know, that aspect, and maybe at some point we need to engage that so that we don't have just ad hoc plans, but a plan going forward about what we need to do in the next 10 years or for the person, so that, you know, we bring this matter to rest. But what is important as well, I think it's important for this committee, this collective, to get progress on the project plans that are under construction now. In other words, all the projects that are under construction, when have they started, when is the due date for completion, and what has been the snags and so on, and the escalation of costs. I think I'll come back to the Kimberley one just because I think that answer is not satisfactory. So we need that. And the other thing is that how regularly do you have scope change? I mean, if you can get per project, what has changed and what has costed. I hear that you say that it happens all the time, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. You see? But as in the construction industry. But once a project design is made, if you tender to build this thing, and we've agreed that it will be delivered in 2 years, I mean, I don't know, private contractors, when they deal with the private bid sector, they are very clear. Time frames and so on. I don't know if it's luxury, not luxury of the time, when it comes to the public sector. Because there does seem to be some problems there that we need to look into, in terms of the delays. You see, the chair alluded to the budget, you know, we need to approve budget this year. Parliament is given a very huge responsibility to say that if things don't go according to plan, you don't approve. It's as simple as that. Or you change. So we want to ensure that the money goes where it should be going. In other words, I'm sure that one is very clear to all of us. Now, this is where the backlog and others will be engaged with the department. But let's say that up front here, you see, that we are not unaware as a portfolio committee of the problems in the department of public works. You see? And we're not going to be opportunistic here and address you in front of our guests to say that there are capacity problems in the department. That needs to be addressed. We are busy with that matter to just see how we can assist to resolve that matter. So they might seem to say they are squeaky clean, say everything is according to plan here, but that's not the case. There are problems. Even with those problems, I don't also think that it would be fair to just lump all the problems to the department if they control, because some take shortcuts.
committee. And I'm not suggesting in this case that correctional services is taking advantage of the problems that are known. The issue of the land forums that are happening, it's not about the number of meetings that you have. It's about the effect of service that is happening on the ground. I mean, I just wanted you to draw the distinction, because even in Giyama itself, about innumerable assets, you see, there are problems that the auditor general has said things are not going according to plan. We are still going to engage ourselves on this matter. So it's a general question that, I mean, general matter that we have to go into. I'm just giving over to you, Chair, what this understanding, that we might have to, this scenario of Kimberley, to say when we started it was this, when we, it went back to that. I mean, that we need certainty. If we say that there is escalations are understood in terms of things and shortages and so on, but I must say there is a mine producing cement in the Northern Cape, our connect to Kimberley. So the problems are there, but they're not just like other places where the things are not as, just to say that, I'm just raising those things. The steel is another bet. So there are questions that were not responded to about rent, that were specific, and the question of the professional capacity. That you say that you I don't know whether you evaded it deliberately or you forgot the question, but maybe as you take over and give them, they can come back to those two questions later. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. Now, even if it's not later, you can come back to it in writing. I think it's important. I'm going to ask the question of the fire. When did they start? When was the end date? And how much has it cost? So you don't have to give it to us now, but you certainly can give us that in writing and other issues. But just to comment on the issue raised by the chair and I think by other members. You know, Kimberley, COO, with all due respect, sir, from 250 to 899 is a 260% escalation. So no amount of inflation, no amount of increase in steel and so on is 250. So I don't need you to comment. I'm just saying that sometimes when we respond, we must respond so that we can defend what we are saying. You can't come and say, well, it was the steel, it was 3 months, and it cost us 260% more. Because the question I'm going to ask is, government or the fiscus doesn't have a limitless budget. If the 260% escalation is what it costs, it means somebody else has suffered 260 million or 260%. That's what it means. That's what the bottom line is. And I'm not blaming on anybody, but I'm saying you can't say, well, because I'm responding to your question that was raised by the member there that says, well, professionally we can do a scope change as much as you like. I'm saying you can't. You can't do a scope change as much as you like with taxpayers' money. You can't do it. So that must be something that when you walk out of here, understand it won't be allowed, certainly not in the committee we are served. And then I wanted to also raise the issue that Mr. Moseki raised. You know, sir, you say that it's a threat for a chap or something to be running, it doesn't happen, or it's worse to that effect. Maybe Mamela or Chief, by the end of the day, give me a call and tell me what's happening to the toilet and the bathroom in the juvenile section in Fort Lake. I'd want to know, because when I asked specifically that question, and you know what's happening there, Mr. Moseki? The tap was leaking. Now you say to me that sometimes these maintenance is because it's been a long thing. And it's not just this, but it's a big issue. I'm guaranteeing you that in court play in the juvenile prison, it only needs a washer. So there's nothing major about it. It's not about anything big. It only needs a washer. And we were told it can't be done because it's done by public works. That's what we were told in Fort Lee. That's what I'm asking Mamela or my colleague there to phone them. It's a specific cell, and you'll be able to answer us. We are serious about sorting out these things in this department. It can't continue like this. And when we come here, people say, give us any answer and expect MPs to swallow it. Correctional Services Committee is not going to swallow it. Because we do oversight visits. We come here with facts and we're given an answer that, well, it's not going to sort it out because if you touch this, you must touch something else. A broken window can't be because of a bigger issue. And everywhere we go to, there's a broken window. It means somebody must go and buy a window pane, putty, and put it under the window. So we are becoming a bit frustrated. We're really becoming frustrated with the kind of responses that we're getting from the answers that we're asking. I said I wanted to raise those issues. We're certainly going to come back to you guys on this one. I want to afford correctional services an opportunity. We have to be out of here by 12. We'll come back to you. Correctional services an opportunity to raise whatever you wanted to raise. Again, dealing with the kinds of questions that we ask public works. What are the challenges? And what is your understanding of GPW? That's why we have these joint sessions. So that when we walk out of here, we know when to fight with GPW, we know when to fight with correctional services in terms of services. So, Mr. Moseki, you have got maybe 20 minutes or so to present, and then again we'll open it up to questions. Mam Nyanda, I've noted you, you can raise it when we open up second time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thanks so much for the opportunity created. I must say that it's a welcome opportunity to have to share a moment with our colleagues in public works and perhaps in front of yourself and attend to some of the questions that you have always had, most of the times directed at ourselves at the Department of Corrections. Thanks so much for that opportunity. And good morning to all members of the Portfolio Committee and for Correctional Services and Public Works. Chairperson, with me I have Mr. Fanambra, who's the Deputy Commissioner responsible for facilities in our department. I have asked Mr. Johan Lafranch here, who's the Director for Corrections and responsible for facilities in Western Cape, to join us, because I indeed thought that you are going to have interest around issues of the windows and so on, minor work that needed to be done in Kutuvai and shed light, because that delegation on our part is at the level of the area management, and you might have had quite an experience around that. I've got Mrs. Tio Yako, who is a media liaison officer, and Ms. Manello, who is the parliamentarizing officer of the minister, and the media liaison officer, Ms. Sinobon Bana, at the back. Just talking broadly about the issues that perhaps you've raised, because indeed I want to agree with you that the issue of maintenance is a problem. And I think public works is most probably right, not only for DCS, but there is a huge backlog, broadly speaking, for governments in general. It is a problem for DCS because, as you know, it not only impacts on the security in that area, but it impacts on our ability. It impacts on our ability to do our work in the manner that I've explained earlier on, that when a problem arises from the infrastructure we have, it requires us to pull all our resources from wherever they are to manage that situation a bit more differently. Chairperson, I'm really blessed about the insight that you have had about Kimberley. Because I think once you pick up that joint experience between ourselves and yourself, we should be able to do work much more differently in other centers that will be opened as well in the course of this year and the next financial year in the Western Cape. I'm told that you have chosen to adopt Kimberley and your passion about it today, the passion of the Portfolio Committee about Kimberley today. I think it's a demonstration of that fact. I do want to talk to some of the issues that perhaps Anapadabu have had to deal with and we have had to deal with earlier on in answering questions, that it's going to be important because the concerns about the service level agreement between us and Public Works, which I think they are with MS working very hard at, and I want to believe the commitment that they have given to us that before the end of February we will be in the position to start the process of commenting and giving our input to that service level agreement. It's an issue that dates way back for us. You may well know that at one point the Auditor General raised a specific issue in our annual report to say that our expenditure on payment of money in our relationship with DPW is not regulated. And indeed, we tried to talk about the memorandum of understanding and what it meant with them. And their view was that the memorandum of understanding does not address the fundamental principles that are required in terms of expenditure of our budget. And therefore, the service level agreement was is an unavoidable end result that we must attend to with speed of speed. And so I'm very glad, Chair. I'm very glad that at last, before the end of this month, hopefully, we should be able to have a discussion going forward around that. But however, I'm worried about the point we're making, that and the point made by the chairperson of DPW, that you may not approve our budget in the absence of that. I'm really very worried about that specific comment, and I would wish that at the end, Chair, there could be a commitment both on your part and the part of the portfolio committee of DPW to assist us in managing the processes going forward. In his view, Chair, he says that it's important for both committees to also know what is contained in that service level agreement. And perhaps instead of us receiving the submission of the service level agreement and whatever else that is attended to that, that we come here and make that presentation when all the documents are perhaps ready. And if the commitment is before the end of February, it may well be that before the end of February, as we look into this thing, we come back to the portfolio committee. I wouldn't want to be engaging yourself at some future date alone, having to deal with whether or not we have a service level agreement. I would rather that we partner jointly all the way to the end in respect to that specific issue. It is very important, Chair, but I think our colleagues in Public Works are right about continuous meetings that we have, and I must accept and confirm that we do have an ongoing relationship with Public Works that starts all the way from the center into the regional level into the national level. And we have our own weaknesses at both departments that may sometimes impact on the very same relationship at different times. But it is our commitment and understanding, Chair, that that the service level agreement will address that relationship, will have points of reference to say if one thing was not done in terms of that agreement, these are remedial actions that need to be put into place. Talking about maintenance again, Chair, I do want to bring to your attention very serious issues. Public Works, three of them. I think our colleagues in Public Works has brought to attention one, which is the security infrastructure and the cost related to that. It is a very serious issue to them, in equal the same way as it is to us. You see, if Public Works does not receive adequate maintenance funding, they have to do prioritization, which at this specific instance is a matter at hand which they are looking at. What are the most important and pressing issues that we need to spend this money at? And of course, in terms of that prioritization, this may impact on the security infrastructure that we have and unavoidable. You have seen this infrastructure at Kimba. Any slight maintenance problem with that infrastructure, I'm talking about from your door to the fencing, your whole state-of-the-art security infrastructure there. It costs quite a lot and a potential lot of money, and I think they are genuinely and legitimately concerned about the implications of that to the budget allocations that Public Works has regarding security infrastructure. So that is one thing. The second important issue for us is that is the issue of the kitchens. You may be talking about the toilets and so on, Chair. It may be a serious and important issue, but we are very worried about the speed with which our kitchens, because of history of maintenance, are currently being affected. It's going to cost us a lot of money. And some of them are beginning to collapse. We're talking about boilers, the whole machinery of the management of kitchens there. It's going to cost us a lot of money, and they are coming to the end of their life there. Quite a substantial lot of them. And so, quite frankly, if DPW does not receive an increase in budget, very soon we are going to begin to deal with the crisis that arises from the location. I'm saying two things, is both maintenance, but also the fact that they are coming to the end of their life cycle. The third issue, Chair, has been the problem that was brought to us late in the course of the last few years, and this is an issue that we are continually discussing with DPW about how we address it. It affects maintenance as well. And this is our emergency power capabilities. And so to speak, increasingly as a result of our security infrastructure, but as a result also of our deployment of IT resources in our facilities, it has come to our attention that the electricity capacities that we ordinarily have are perhaps not adequate to bear the pressure that currently exists. But the most serious security threat is our emergency response capability. I'm talking about minimum requirements to be able to operate that facility in the event of a blackout. And so between ourselves, we're working on a project to try and see how do we replace generators in our facility, some of which have come to the end of their life cycle, some of which did not exist in some of those facilities, and so on. And the pressure is mounting now around these issues. So I am really saying that the problem of maintenance is both the issue of capacity, but it's equally the issue of funding. And the solution to it will not lie in us or in them. It will lie entirely in DPW receiving funding in particular for that. It's something here that I think we'll be able to deal with in due course between ourselves and DPW about office accommodation and the length of lease contracts that we have, because the shorter the contract, when we have many of these, the higher the volume of having to renew them on an ongoing basis, and so the higher the likelihood of making a mistake or keeping one important issue here and there. I'm certainly something that we can be able to find ourselves together around. But I must say, Chair, that the point made by the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works is as important an issue as it is to us. You see, when we have meetings on an ongoing basis, which indeed we do, if the levels of engagement we have are not meaningful such that the results are immediate and visible, it becomes a bit of a dilemma. And so if, for example, there is no regional manager and the post is vacant in one specific area, it impacts on the value of the discussions that you might have. I'm saying there may be a genuine issue there, but if the meeting does not produce the results that you may have wished it should, it does have an impact on whether you feel you have been adequately yet, on whether you can be able to address the issues that meeting seeks to address. And so I'm saying that if those are the kinds of issues that we will be able to deal with in our in our service level agreement about standardization of participation and the focus of issues that must be dealt with at different levels of our discussion. That may go a long way in attending to some of the problems that we have. Lastly, Chair, the point that you are continuing to make all the time, which we have made, and I think I've made this point earlier on. I don't know, Chair, I want to put this thing a bit more broadly than I have reported to you before, and I don't know if DPW will agree with me around this thing. I am not of the view that facilities management, building, acquisition lends itself very easy to our budgeting system. Having had to deal with this issue with DPW, I don't think it's easy for them, I don't think it's easy for us to allocate money for facilities, for infrastructure, 1 year at a go, and because any single project of infrastructure is a multi-year project. And so if you do not know how much any given government department is going to be receiving at the end of that, it pushes you to a point where at the end of the financial year, you wait a bit and then start again. If you don't know, and it is not concerned how much money on an ongoing basis is. And so my general suspicion is that the problems that we are dealing with is a result of that budgeting cycle, such that at the beginning of every financial year, both ourselves have to confirm and start again. And so you end up with a spike at the end of the year when you have already agreed and you are able to lay out the project plan for that specific financial year a bit more clearer, and public works can then start committing to whoever the service provider is. I don't think it lends itself, but that's that. We do have this problem and it's real. That we will get invoicing very slowly at the beginning of the year, and then it will pick up towards the end of the year. It has already started. Our December invoicing has just pushed up, and I think in the course of this month and next month, we're going to be increasing our expenditure in relation to whatever remains of our budget. Chair, I was going to ask Ms. Van Andra to talk to some point of our presentation, but I would rather we stop our input at that level, having highlighted the issues that we defend. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mateki. Let's just, so that you don't have sleepless nights. Myself and the co-chair were very serious when we said that we will have difficulty approving funds if there's no plan to those funds. Now, the service level agreement, as I understand it, is exactly that. It's a plan about turnaround time, about regularity of what's going to be done, tendencies and so on. So, unless I don't understand this thing, a service level agreement is a plan. And if you don't have a plan, I don't think that anybody would look at us harshly if we say we are not allocating money for something that doesn't have a plan. So the onus really is on you. When you come to us and say to us, please approve this budget, you better have a plan. That's what we are saying. There's no threat, there's no anything, it's just saying, do what you need to do. Everybody, not just yourself, everybody. So I'm hoping that clears it out, that there's no panic in South Africa, that there's going to be no money for maintenance in corrections. We are saying, bring us a plan, and we want to marry the plan to the funding and see if it makes sense. And then just on the other one, I maybe agree with you, sir, that it's difficult to plan for a 3-year project once a year. But the MTEF is aimed at addressing a 3-year term. So it might change in the outer years, but I thought that was the intention of it. So these are the type of things I'm hoping we all utilize. I don't think this is an event that we'll have a joint meeting with Public Works. It's going to be a process, Chair. We normally meet the department quarterly to do their finances. We might have to do a similar type of thing on a more regular basis to deal with the state of our facilities. Because for us, as Mr. Mateki correctly says, it's a security threat. It's not just about aesthetics, it's a security threat. When somebody can walk out of the door or push a wall down, then it's a serious crisis in our lives. And if you can help us in that regard, we will do that. Let's open it up for comments. I had noted Mamnyanda from the previous round, so I'll take you as the first one, Mamnyanda. And then we'll ask you to respond first, as you said in the last one, if there's anything that you want to respond to. But you had one or two issues that you wanted to respond to from the previous round. So you can, you'll be afforded that opportunity. So you'll respond to whatever comes out of members' questions, plus whatever is outstanding. So it'll be Mamnyanda. I've noted Mamnyanda. No, hold on, Mamnyanda. I'm just saying it's Nyanda, and then let's go from that side. Abraham. Nguenya. Doris Ningwana. Masango. Self and Fritz. In that order. Self and Fritz. And then we'll allow the departments to respond, and we'll have a second if we need to. Mamnyanda.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to get the clarity here in maintenance. Did we have allocation of DPW maintenance budget over 2 years have been doubled to 630 million? That is my first question. It's page 26. My second question, I just want to find out about correctional services, the Zanini Center. Originally, tender was advertised in 2007 and was allowed to last. I just want to find out what was the problem of the tender lapsing. And the DPW have to date refused to appoint consultants to that tender. I just want to get the clarity from for these two questions. Thank
you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I'm a bit perturbed with regard to the responses that we received regarding this whole question of the escalation of costs, etc., etc. I think, Chair, what one needs to understand very clearly is that government is actually running a business. That business is to provide services to the people of the country, for which the people are paying in terms of rates and taxes. Now, Chair, when we go out and we want to do something, for example, providing a facility, it is in order to satisfy a particular need. Likewise, in the private sector, let us assume that they wish to put up a shopping center. They will have done their homework as to the need and desirability, and they would then decide that fine, this is the spot where this sort of thing needs to be put up. And we will need, for example, a gross lettable area of say 40,000 square meters or whatever. They will cost it first. Having costed it, Chair, they will determine what sort of rental will have to be paid in order to amortize this over a period of time. Normally the guys work on 10, 15 years. Now we should adopt the same principle. When private sector goes out and builds something, Chair, they build in safeguards for themselves in an agreement. Firstly, that there would be an escalation clause to satisfy the need of the construction company in the event that something unnatural happens or whatever, whatever. Secondly, Chair, the developer wants to know whether, in terms of the cost, the building cost, will we get a return on this? And those are the principles on which we work, Chair. We cannot have a situation, Chair, and it's worrisome if the department thinks along the lines that by Jove, an increase of 200% or 250% is acceptable. It is not acceptable in the private sector, Chair, and it should not be acceptable in the public sector. And I say, Chair, that these departments must go back and do their job on the basis of sound business principles. Because we are running a business. We are delivering a service for which we are paying. And we need to see that we get the desired results where we pay, whatever we pay, Chair, we need to get our return on whatever we pay. And Chair, this notion that yes, government has got lots of money they can pay is going to take our country over the cliff. And we better be careful, Chair. For example, Chair, when government wants to buy land in order to do anything, the price rockets. The private sector won't pay that kind of money, Chair. So all I'm saying, Chair, is that I'm not satisfied with the explanations that were given, and I wish that to be recorded, lest it be said that the committee was quite happy. I am not, Chair. And this is not the way to go. To accept certain things just like that, because it comes from the fiscus, is absolutely wrong, Chair. We need to save every cent that we can save. We have a poor population in this country. People are paying indirect taxes, Chair. The poor people pay more in terms of taxes pro rata because they are indirectly taxed on a number of issues. That's all I wish to say on that, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Mamgwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on page 6, on Tanzania, the department has spoken about the tender that was last. But it is not explained why it was last. And also, on Tanzania again, same for correction. Chairperson, I wanted to know that the DPW, why they refuse to support to appoint the project manager of correctional services. Correctional
center, I need
to say. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ma'am. Can we then take, we talk about Doris Ngwan.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair President. Actually, it's more of a comment than a question. I mean, I just wanted to record my dissatisfaction in the response by both departments. I mean, if all was well, we're told that they've got bilaterals and all that and all that. If all was well, why are we sitting here today?
And thank you very much. I think it's you, Chief. I'm sorry. Masango, I didn't write it properly. Sorry, Mr. Masango.
Okay. Chairperson, thank you. I'm just saying, listening to the Department of Correctional Services, one can do that. Maintenance is the biggest problem because there is a lot of things that need to be maintained and it's not maintained. And the biggest problem is here, we are talking about only one department. And the Department of Public Works is dealing with so many departments. And I wonder what's the situation with the other departments. The only one that I know is the biggest problem is even the Defense Department where things are collapsing. Actually, they have already collapsed. And it's going to cost us a lot of money to repair those things. But my biggest problem is that, you know, there are, the department is talking about generators back then and the boilers back then. Actually, those things should be budgeted so that they know by this year those things should be replaced and not waste time so that they are really in a state that you cannot replace anymore or you cannot replace it because it will cause a lot of problems. But, you know, as Abraham is saying, my perception or my belief is that the Department of Public Works should actually run as a business. That's what the Department of Public Works should be running. It should compete with other private enterprises that are running these admin buildings outside there to ensure that they are also running those, their assets as a business asset. But the last question I want to ask you is just one question, and I don't understand it. Prisoners are sitting there in prison doing absolutely nothing. And one of the things that we want to do is to have prisoners having skills. But here, the Department of Correctional Services complaining about minor repairs. Why are prisoners not doing those jobs? I just want to know, what is the issue? Why can't they do? Why can't they put a window? Why can't they repair a toilet? I mean, they are there, they should learn skills. Why are we not making use of them? Why should we waste money and pay other people to repair something that is so small? Prisoners are there, why can't they do that job? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Fell.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to underscore the point that you made. I know it's really a question to Mr. Murphy. If we go on an oversized tour and we discover that there is a broken window, am I to understand that it is a function of poor management at centre level? Because presumably those are precisely the sort of things that can be fixed at centre level, and the fact that they're not fixed is now, I understand, no longer the responsibility of the Department of Public Works. I am talking about these minor things that are easily fixed. I'm not talking about an entire reticulation system that's blocked or whatever the case might be, but a minor problem of a broken window or a chipped tile or something like that can be fixed at centre level without any other authorisation. Because that's what I understood to have been said. The second question relates actually to the point that my colleague has said about the generators. Now, I can understand why kitchen equipment becomes burnt out, if I can use that term, over time, because it gets used 3 times a day. But a generator presumably doesn't, because a generator is only switched on when there's a power problem, for the most part. And it strikes me that generators ought not to be coming to the end of their life if they have been properly maintained and serviced during their life, as opposed, say, to kitchen equipment that has a built-in obsolescence because it gets used every single day. But Mr. Motsuki said that that was the biggest single challenge facing the department. I just want to inquire why these generators are coming to the end of their lives if they're not in general everyday use. My final question relates to the Department of Public Works very directly, and it comes back to DPPs. Because if I understood the response correctly, the DPW is responsible for site clearance and the supply of bulk services. Now, there were at least two PPPs planned in the early part of this decade, or last decade, 2000-2001. One was in Leeucorp and the other one was in Nigel. And Leeucorp was stopped because of an IEA problem. But a fair degree of work had already started on that. Even more so in Nigel, where the foundations had already been dug and then the thing was stopped. Now, I want to know, because I'm struggling to find out where the accountability is for those sorts of decisions. Because there was what I regard as being wasteful expenditure incurred in both those things. And I don't know whether it was a decision that was taken by DPW, by correctional services, or by some other institution as yet unnamed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to, and I'm sorry I'm going back to Kimberley, just for a short service. It's more in a kind of almost like a joke than that it's serious. I see the scope, for instance, change, and my colleague at the back, talk about the 15%. They changed the scope in Kimberley so much that the hospital section, they forgot to put toilets inside the cells in hospital. And so now it's a bigger security threat, because now they might have disciplinary people also there to escort patients out to use the toilet. So that is a comment about scope changing, and the 80% of my colleague opposite is talking about. They changed so much that you... I come to a much more serious matter. And I'm told that one of the consumables is coal and petroleum. And I think we now have the opportunity with our new generation prison and the number of new generations, isn't it, to build solar heating and solar and what's the other one, wind generating of electricity. Shouldn't we try that during our, also to contribute to our environmental friendly kind of environment? One of the things that struck us quite badly, Mr. Chair, the whole committee was struck by the fact, and we're talking about clear air, just inside, and this is our DCS point again, when we arrived in a new prison in Kimberley with 250 or 35 inmates, they all smoked again. They all smoked inside a public building. And the management, even though the policy is it's a smoke-free management area, they smoked. No one stopped. This is the problem we have, I think, in all our departments, is management and managing all those issues. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Let's hand over to DPW to respond where you think you'd like to respond, and then Mr. Mateki and his team will respond, and we'll see what happens thereafter.
Thank you, Captain. Respond to those three issues, and I'll also follow up on the others.
Thank you, Chairperson. Relevant to ramp, we do not have a ramp on each and every DCS facility. It is relevant to the budget that we have, and obviously the urgent nature of the requirements of ramp at this stage is not enjoyed by every facility of DCS. However, if there's a requirement for day-to-day maintenance, we deal with that on the day-to-day maintenance budget, and then we have the planned maintenance program. Recently, we've agreed that if a reduces budget constraints, if a facility has enjoyed the benefits of a ramp, which is a repairs and maintenance program, then it just has to go into a maintenance program and not have a fully fledged ramp again. But it's a technical thing that we're dealing with it on that level. So we just wanted to make that clear. And then, like I said, you have the day-to-day maintenance budget as well as the planned maintenance budget that one can access. I think the issue of the DPW, and I think we're striving to operate as a business, but like we indicated at the outset, we have various challenges that we're confronted with. One of us being that we can operate within the ambit and the budget that we've been given. For example, we claim from our client department 8 rand a square meter. So if the accommodation charges that are vested with the client, in terms of functional accommodation, is about 12 rand. And therein lies the problem, because you're quite right. We should be charging higher amounts to generate rentals, so that then we could then increase our repairs and renovations and upgrade our facilities. You're quite right there. I agree with you. However, it once again comes back to the fiscus and what is given for accommodation charges. Currently, we're even operating in a deficit as we move into adopting the private sector principles. So we agree with you, and we're moving towards that. We've engaged with National Treasury to say, please increase accommodation and user charges so that we could get increased rentals and we can basically become more self-sustainable. So we're totally in agreement with you there. The issue of own resources, also agree that perhaps we do have an own resources policy that has been circulated to DCS, where they are allowed to basically use the prisoners, etc., for upskilling purposes, and I think that the suggestion there can only enhance the solution to ensuring that buildings are better maintained and even look aesthetically better, provided that you get the custodian's permission, because we need to then set a criteria of what can be done. Obviously, you cannot take extensive building works and those kinds of things, so we need to look at that and work closely with our colleagues in DCS. So we take that as maybe a little, well, not little, but something as a solution that can assist us going forward. I think the site clearance issues relevant to Nigel and Leocop, I think Nigel was dropped, but I think DCS needs to engage. Like you said, we don't deal with the PPTs, so we'll have them just explain that. I don't have the total information on that. Agreed that as we go forward to build, we need to be looking at efficiencies and supporting the green environment. We have people that are from our professional services that are on councils, etc., and are they going to bring back learned experiences that we can then inject, going forward with new construction. So I think point taken, and we'll ensure that this happens going forward. Zani, hand over. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honourable members. The idea in terms of the solar heating system for Suzanne Temple, which is highly welcome, so that we can save on coal and petrol and look at other alternative methods. The question of geocoper and natural, as you would know, that we've done the site clearances and the efforts to a great extent done, like Mr. Sanders indicated. However, this year, so let's have a comment on that one, because at a certain point in time, we are advised that they fall under the category of the Triple G. And as I indicated in terms of my explanation, the Kenyan Timetas of the Triple G remains with the accounting officer of the responsible center for the CCS, and they will take the responsibility for that. The question of tender lapses in the name. Original scope of work, 300 grade. Tender advertised, two respondents. One 9 million, the other 170 million. At that stage, huge gap realized by the department decided to say, let's review this thing. There's a huge gap. There might be a problem in terms of pricing. There might be a problem in terms of bill of quantities, whatever the case might have been. But of importance is that that tender was supposed to be lapsed as a matter of the regulation, so that we close it first and we start all over again. Starting all over again had a factor also whereby there was an increase in terms of the bed size requirements to more plus 500 plus, which is the scope, and the center was awarded, and the contractor is on track as we speak, because that has been handed over in terms of the name. The question pertaining to the escalation of costs, and I am privy to cost management in construction to the in the public sector, but not really the private sector. But we use the same principles. And I acknowledge that we must run public works like a business, because the same consultant that we use in the public sector also being used in the private sector. The unfortunate reality is that we are not privy to the information as in the escalation, the variations, but the principles in terms of business definitely need to be applied as sound. Thank you very much.
Chair, thanks. perhaps just to attend to the last set of questions by Mr. Self. I was on the run. I was running about the maintenance issue, and I ended up at the generators. I think it was more the issue. I think the point there is auditing. The point there is actually a discussion that we're having around auditing and improving capacity, and also to evaluate the scope of the current generators that we have. I think I was thinking about the lifespan of the kitchen, and then I went into the generators. So I was driving that way. It does not intend to come to me. I think Nigel is in the list of the activities. It's only local that we have stopped. I'm trying to confirm, just that when you ask the question, it confused me somewhat, but I think Niger is in the list of the facilities that are being tendered out for PVP at the moment. Your corporate access fair check, it remains an issue that, as Mr. Maleda is saying, it remains an issue which between ourselves and public works. I think at the moment they are in the process of finalizing the viability study. So yes, it's LOCOP based on the LOCOP was included based on the outcome of the environmental impact assessment study. It's my view, Chair, that it's not acceptable at all. It's not acceptable that the taps and leak and somebody there blames it on public works when, as you say, it needs only a rubber. It's my view that it's completely unacceptable. And any explanation that fits to say public works is actually not true. But however, Chair, when it relates, there are a variety of issues, and some of the issues, frankly, are matters that require security assessment. My view and the experience we had is that when we go to the juvenile facilities, or where most of the young people are detained, it's those facilities where you find most of the windows broken. So there is just a serious high levels of delinquency there. That in the system we have is even difficult to manage that adequately. And so half the time, you actually have to find the culprit and apply the required disciplinary measures, change the security status of that person, and so on. And sometimes it requires investigation and all that. But there's just high levels of delinquency in the facilities that houses young people, and so some of the damages are it's almost like something that we live with all the time, deliberate action on the part of those inmates. But frankly, these are measures, there are measures in place which head of the centers must constantly be managing at those centers. But it's unacceptable that blame can be put on public works, especially around minor issues. And so we have had a discussion with our portfolio committee around continued work that inmates must perform, or offenders rather, must perform. And so as part of our own resources, public work has done, when it relates to this 20,000 amount, much of that work is done by inmates. Whether it's fixing lights, whether it's fixing a plumbing work here and there, much of that work is done by inmates, and not it's not true that they could be waiting for public work. They, unless there is a budget shortage, in which case if they have exhausted the allocation with respect of day-to-day maintenance, it will remain a bit of a problem. But we are as committed on arising from the discussions we had with our portfolio committee that we must improve and increase the workload of our offenders. I agree, Chair, that which really is the point I was making, that maintenance is a problem, and I think DPW have also agreed. I mean, at one point they made an estimation of 24 billion, and it is a problem, maintenance issue, but quite a lot of work needs to be done in respect of it. I thought I have addressed the issue of Samin at some point about why the changes, but I'll ask Ms. Fernanda to answer the specific questions. I mean, is why the double, why the contract was allowed to last, and the refusal to appoint the consultant. I think to accept Ms. Malilo also attempted to answer. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think we just add to what Bobby Burke has raised. We've, especially from 2007, have looked at how we can look, ensure value for money. And when we looked at the pricing from Sunny, it was clear that at the time, especially in the conditions at the time, the tendering, and it was very remote in terms of tendering, it wasn't good value for money for government. So there were business principles applied in terms of that. There was a process where we also looked at what we need to spend more to increase, and we inquired from Public Works, and they indicated at the time it was about 22 million to increase. Actually, I just had to double a housing unit. So all that needed to be done was to take that already standard unit and add it on the site plan. Everything else was supplied. So it was adding 22 million rand to double your capacity, which makes business sense. And because of that, they did that because it was also EIA process that to be gone through anyway at that stage. So we used the opportunity to increase the scope. So it's been a very calculated process on Sunin where we've looked at optimizing value for money for government. And I think we've already seen with the estimates that we got improved pricing, if you allow for escalation from that period. I think that's just on that issue. Yes. On the consultant appointment, I think what we've emphasized on Sanin is that we've learned from experiences, and I think it was raised, and it's really a challenge in the current conditions, is the capacity of professional people and highly skilled technical people. And because although it might not look that at face value, your design and your construction of facilities are very complex. You need a lot of coordination on these projects. And what we've seen from Kimberly is that you need consultants or project managers managing, giving you that capacity and benefit. It's a, something that we really feel is important, and that's where we've raised the issue that it's important for us that even if it comes at some money, you'll get the value back. So that coordination, because that's the lack that we need to ensure service delivery and assist us in this process of delivering better services. So we are, it's critical for us that we have assist project work with having competent project management firms running these complex projects on that basis so that we ensure delivery and the integration, because of some of these projects, and we've learned from Kimberly, is a lot of coordination problems. And that's where we find that a lot of the challenges come from. And that's where we, it's key for us that we do address that to improve service delivery. And that's why we are making a strong case for that.
So you've got 1 minute, second.
Okay, got to be. All right, thank you very much, Captain. On the question of the professional capacity, which I did not respond to. In these years, we have a challenge in terms of project managers. We are in that particular situation by skilling most of the project managers that we have now, so that they are able to actually rise up to the challenge. On the question of appointing a consultant to manage a consultant at Zanini, we have refused the public work. Because we have dedicated a project manager who is fully qualified and competent enough to supervise the consultants who are there. One, it means we save on cost. Two, it means we actually create internal capacity in terms of skills. So that's what we said in terms of that. Thank you very much, Professor.
Thank you. I will wrap up and then I'll give my colleague to wrap up and also summarize as he understood it. And hopefully we'll have a way forward from there. I mean, I think what is required or one of the products of this meeting is that service level agreement has to be concluded. Has to be concluded for your own sake. So that's the one thing that needs to be sorted out. I also think that you, public works, would need to give us, and if you work together with DCS, it's fine. The, you know, your page 6, your, those, Vanreisdorf and so on, the cost estimated time of completion, we need that in writing to our committee, please, sir. And then the other two, I think, Chairperson, that at some point we have to get together, and I think Mr. Motseki raised it at some point, that we might want to, as we are sitting here, have some sort of a meeting where we discuss the lessons learned in Kimberley. Discuss the content of that service level agreement, Mr. Motseki, that you indicated that maybe before it's concluded that we all have an understanding what is in there. And then of course, Mr. Mdaka, we will take up your point of joint oversight visits between the two committees to one or all of those sites. And then just from my side, to thank the Department of Correctional Services as well as the Department of Public Works for honoring the invite, and also for our colleagues in the Portfolio Committee of Public Works. We think it was an eye-opener from our side, and it assists us in terms of ensuring that the challenges in correctional services will be met without necessarily having to deal with excuses from somewhere else. So, Honorable Oliphant, thank you very much, and you can wrap it up for us from our side. Say bye.
Let me thank you for giving us the opportunity to share in your space as the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services. and to thank Correctional Services Department and Public Works for what we see as camaraderie that will emerge out of the city. They did exchange some blows. You could see that, you know, there is some turf that is being contested here as to who's who in the zoo, who does what, who refuses what, who, you see. But they're going to be meeting before the end of February when they conclude the service level agreement to sort out those matters. So that when we come here, we're getting a public service that is committed to doing what the president has said. You know, let me just say that, you know, fighting crime and corruption is one of the key priorities of the government. And we have to work with you to be able to achieve this. You looking after the criminals. So you understand that space better. You see? Public Works also knows that there are a lot of things that we've got to sort out going forward. So I'm not even going to list them here. And I've been listening to you trying to plead for us to give them more money for this and that and the other. I'm sure that's a plus for you as well for the next meeting. But we'll see. We'll see when we discuss that. One thing that we have emphasized is timeless payment. There is a program that we try to monitor very closely, where Public Works in particular, the whole of the civil servants, have got to pay people within 30 days. They've got operation there, but so they must pay in 30 days. So that's what you're saying. You know, just as a side one, in a previous lecture, I was chairing the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology. So these scientific people can discuss anything and everything under the sun. So they raise an issue of crime to say, listen, but is it scientific to catch a criminal, put them in prison, serve a term, goes out, you know, and commit another one, and so on and so on. I'm raising this because Mamdaka raised a very good fundamental issue to say the type of prisons that you are building become sometimes, I'm not contesting that space, and that it becomes an incentive for criminals to go back. Because at home they live in shacks and poor conditions. In the Kimberley new generation prison, that's where they would want to be. I'm not saying it's correct or incorrect. I just know that in Zimbabwe there is a prison called Shikuruli. If you want to take anybody there, they can. You see? That's where those other steps are taken. But just on a lighter note, I'm just not raising any view on the matter. And thank you very much, Chair, for the time and the space.
Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned. Members of the Portfolio Committee and Correctional Services, we remain behind this report.
Thank you. Thank you.
We apologize profusely. In future, I will take charge of that part. Yeah. No, we do. I agree. We have a quorum in terms of the NA. In terms of the NCOP, I think we're looking for one more member, but Gershon is working on it. So we will continue with our business. And at the point of ratification, hopefully we will then resolve how we do it, but certainly from the NA we have no problem. Just to recap, the Minister of Correctional Services has to appoint members to the NCCS because their term expires. She presented us her recommendations of seven names, right? Eight names. And those eight names were then discussed, certainly from the minister's point of view, and we as a committee chose to go and apply our mind, go and consult, and for us to resolve it today. We did make an undertaking to the minister that by close of business today we will give her the list. Because we all understand the time frames and so on. Now, my own understanding was that there was no violent opposition to the names that the minister had presented, but if we wanted to add to or subtract from, or add to, we could do that. So can we move from the premise that the names that the minister presented are closed, so to say, and then open up for any new names, if there are any new names, bearing in mind that we didn't run the cumbersome committee and so on, and you'll indicate and give us direction in terms of where do we close if you want to continue. I'm really open to yourselves. So, let's open it at that point. Thank you, sir. Mr. Sainok, Mr. Self, anybody else wants to comment on... Let's take Mr. Self and see if he takes us forward. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. And yes, I would, in broad terms, support your understanding of it. In other words, I think there's nothing wrong with any of the eight nominations that the minister proposed, but we did have the opportunity of going through the other CVs quite carefully, and we would submit that there is one person in that list of nominations that I think is worthy of consideration to be added, and only one, and that is that of Professor Noshulwana, who is currently Dean of the Arts Faculty at Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University. He has a PhD in psychology, he's a clinical psychologist, but what sets him apart perhaps from some of the other psychologists that were nominated already from the minister's side is the relevant previous experience that I think he has. First of all, for 11 years when he worked for what is called the Centre for Alternative Sentencing and Employment Services, and a further 2 years as a Director of Reentry Programs at the Community Justice Centre. And it does strike us that he would be a useful addition to the National Council. As you know, this post doesn't attract the salary, it just attracts the per diem cost, and so the cost implications of another nomination would not be very significant, and therefore I would move that we include him in the list of nominations.
Any other comments from any other members? Happiness?
Yeah, I'm
Okay, just to indicate, Mr. Self, maybe just because of the way we did it, that in fact the professor is nominated already. If you remember, the minister has prerogative of 2 people, and Professor Salia and Velile are on that list already. So it in fact complements what we're saying. So he's already part of that list, and if there are no other names that must be presented, we will then take the list that was given to us by the minister. She's got her 3 judges, her 2 specialists, and everybody else that will be added to make it up to a list of 17, I think the case is. So just from our side, the shortlisted candidates are Dr. Hamadi Joseph Kometsi. I'm talking about the list that the minister's given us, just for the record. Then there's Ms. Lusanda Retiamane, Dr. Maletsi Marco, Ms. Busi Ngobeni, Ms. Lynn Smith, Dr. Mohammed Randera, Dr. Hima Hargovan, and Advocate Silas Kununu. Those are the ones that we are recommending, and of course the minister has been but the 2, as I said, Professor Salier and Professor Velilwe Notsulwane. Those are the ones that she had nominated up front. So it takes care of Mr. Self or the proposal brought from the table. Can we take that then as the decision of the committee? Unambiguous, agreed to. We will then submit accordingly to the minister and also to the speaker to satisfy ourselves. Yes, sir.
Chair, just from the NCOP, the problem we are faced with is that we are not forming a quorum now. And it's precisely because this committee has about 3 to 4 chairpersons in about 2 weeks, and they are in this workshop that are there. Because this committee is sitting on Friday, we will not have a problem, but we will for us to just confirm officially so that we can then send this list to the chairperson of the SOP for the House to can then complete on. That's the process we will follow.
So it's really an admin exercise that will take place. The politics and everything is sorted out. We will, at the end, conclude our business, and hopefully the NCOP will conclude its business, but the work of the joint committee, we're saying, has been concluded now. You do the admin side, and we'll submit accordingly to the minister. Thank you very much to the NA and the NCOP members. Enjoy your lunch. Can't lunch today, but next time you'll have a lunch on us.